I'm very pleased to be with Maqbool Bahri, who is a labor videographer, a human rights activist, and particularly sensitive about issues of organizing labor, and is indeed from Pakistan. Thank you for speaking with Building Bridges in Exile.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure for me to be here and to be able to talk to you.
One of the things that happened, I believe it was November 19th, there was a significant strike in Pakistan. Most people here are very ignorant as to the level of social organizing and labor organizing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what actually is happening with the trade union movement in Pakistan and any information you have about the legacy of that strike, since I understand that people were both beaten and imprisoned and tortured?
This strike was partly labor, and partly the strike was some of the political parties getting together against the unconditional support of Musharraf to the United States government and the war. Many of the people were arrested, and some of them, some of the people involved in the Labor Party was arrested. This led up to, because of course we certainly condemn any mad people destroying other innocent human beings, whether they are Americans or origin or some other origin or Palestinian origin or Israeli origin, but we cannot just go unconditionally going to support something which we don't know how it will unfold. Also because the choices that were offered to us that we understood through television were either you are with us or you're not with us. And we thought that yes, certainly we are with you because we think that killing innocent people is bad. But then lots of other innocent people begin to die, and we suddenly realize that how could we be against innocent killing people and yet be with the United States and then support kind of innocent people. And that was a little confusing and soul searching, and many other people came out and wanted to express their opinion about it, and that led to this that strike.
We're approaching a different period right now with the fall of Kandahar. I'm assuming that there'll still be what they might call mopping up operations in Afghanistan. But how will this affect, more importantly from this standpoint, how will this affect what's happening with the working class in Pakistan?
We do not know how the war would unfold, really. History tells us that anybody who's gotten into Afghanistan has really got bogged down. And we don't even understand in Pakistan, at least, the agenda of this war. What are we going to achieve? And what is going to replace this present situation? We know this, that Afghans, like everybody else in that area, are our brothers, and they are suffering very much now. Innocent people are dying. We have 3.5 million refugees into Pakistan, which has already put a lot of burden on our very scarce resources that we have in Pakistan. And of course, specifically working class, if you talk about, there were a lot of high unemployment in Pakistan as it is before 9/11, but now with exports going down, with economic situation even worsened than it was before, local consumption very low, and a lot of refugees coming in, the situation has worsened really, and working class is just in a very bad shape just now. We are not producing very much, we are not exporting very much, a lot of people have been laid off, and that's a bad situation. Of course, there are promises of support and help coming from the United States and other so-called coalition partners. But as we have already $38 billion of debt that we are in, and that money has to be paid back, and everything becomes more and more expensive as government continues to levy new taxes to pay that money back. So help, I'm not sure what kind of help it is and how it's going to improve conditions for our people.
Well, Ken and I have some shades of difference. I actually don't believe that the war is drawing to an ebb. Quite the contrary, I believe the war will extend further into Afghanistan, create more devastation, and very likely, at least the Bush administration is making powerful overtures into extending it into Iraq, and we don't know the situation with Yemen, Somalia, Sudan, etc. So within this context, with Pakistan being in such a vulnerable position with its controversy over Kashmir with India, what do you think we need to do and understand about how to balance or present to the American public our concerns about the volatility of that entire area of the world?
That's a big question, but let me try to respond to that. I think, first of all, as far as United States war against Afghanistan or terrorism is concerned, the agenda is not very clear, and that scares us and scares the Pakistanis, because we keep saying this is step one and we are going to go after terrorist or whoever is harboring terrorists, and it's never been clarified who are the countries who are harboring terrorists. So we feel particularly threatened that maybe Pakistan is next, and it could be somehow said that Pakistan is harboring terrorists. So we do not really know the agenda of this war, although our government tends to be supporting the U.S. government in this endeavor. So this is one level. And a second level, of course, is that India, Pakistan, and Kashmir, there is this conflict that we have, and this is an old conflict. It needs to be resolved. We are not taking position, at least the workers do not really want to take a position that it should be with Pakistan or with India or how. We are only saying that it should be resolved, and its resolution, maybe the opinion of the people of Kashmir must be taken into account. And the American government and American people must lean upon Pakistan and India to say to it that war is not a solution of things. We are already very poor countries, and we would very much like, as citizens of Pakistan, and of course I'm sure in India also, we certainly like that we can resolve these issues and get on with improving the quality of life. And I have a lot of exchange with Indian friends and brothers and activists who are on the other side of the border, and we agree on these issues. We think that we are the two poorest countries now in the world, and we are poor because we invested a lot of money into armaments, which of course helps some of the armament producing countries, including the United States. So I think now we must learn that if there is not peace and harmony in that part of the world, it's going to threaten peace and harmony in other parts of the world. And it's a global village now, and we must ensure that there is prosperity, improvement in quality of life of people, and there is peace, and there is justice and judicious distribution of resources. And I think as far as the U.S. war is concerned, it's important to recognize the agenda of this war. Is this war because the economic situation in the United States is bad, or is this war that we are going after a criminal, or is this war because we want to have control over oil? I think for countries it's justified to have war for whatever reason, but I think it would be good if they are stated.
A lot of people still assume that while the third world is poor, things are somehow getting better. Are things getting better? I mean, are things getting worse? Say over the last 5 years, 10 years, how have things been progressing or not in Pakistan?
I think this is an interesting question. Worse or better? Quality of life-wise, maybe it is getting better, but economically it is getting worse. And quality of life, I mean that, okay, people have access to good food, people have access to clothes, people have access to shelter, people have access to some kind of transportation and recreation. But certainly there are not the same number of cars, or we don't have so many refrigerators or internet connections or high education. And if we really look at sustainability of the earth or the world, we sometimes tend to look at it, this could be an advantage. But certainly we feel that resources that our Pakistan has and the resources that Pakistan generates are somehow whisked away. And the Pakistani people, 140 million people who live there, do not get the advantage of the benefits that can accrue from those raw materials and resources. And when they are whisked away, they are value added in other countries, and then our country has to buy them back at much more exorbitant prices. From that way, it seems to be going in the wrong direction. But I'm hopeful, because in the process, we have not destroyed our environment, we are not using too much of energy, fuel is still very expensive, $2 a gallon, there are not so many cars, we are not destroying environment, we are not cutting our forests down, although we don't have large forests. So from that point of view, things are becoming better. But from an personal, individual population's consumption point of view, of course, the capacity is reducing. And of course, another thing that is not good is that the difference between the haves and the have-nots within Pakistan is increasing tremendously.
Now, you are a labor videographer. You bring two wonderful things together, which is advocacy for the labor movement and certainly creativity and art. We, again, have very little understanding. Aside from perhaps in New York, a film that was shown recently, and that one actually was made by, I believe, an Iraqi about Afghanistan, that was Kandahar, which got a great deal of emotion in terms of interest. Tell us a little bit about your own endeavors to bring the issues of the labor movement, to document them, to bring them out, and help us understand more about that area of the world, not to mention redoing the deck, which is Bush going to actually do? That was one of the promises that got Pakistan on board for this war.
Yes, this is an interesting question, and I think I should go back a little bit to your earlier question also about the start of the labor movement in Pakistan. I combined that, I forgot about that. The labor movement in Pakistan has been actually promoted by, it has been there for a very long time, and all those people who promoted labor movement at that time was considered communists, and communist was a very bad word at that time. And so the general public had been little scared, and the workers who came from little religious backgrounds were very scared to be associated with the communists. So there has been a difficult task to mobilize trade unions and to understand that organization for strengthening your own position and asking for a better quality of life and to be able to produce in a congenial, harmonious, safe environment is a birthright of every human being. That's why it is, organizing has been a little difficult. And these are the areas that we actually capture on video. We want to promote what organization is, what collective decision making is, what making decision about your own workplace is, what making decisions together about your work situation is, about salary, about wages, about medical conditions, and so on and so forth. And we try to capture that on video. Also, we want educational videos, which means to explain to people how, what is our legislation say about rights of human beings and workers to associate themselves and organize themselves in trade union. Where do we go and register ourselves a trade union? How do we resolve conflicts, and which institutions and labor courts must we address to or go to if we get into trouble with employers? So this has been more educational, and I think there is a little bit of creativity in the sense that they are live documentaries. It's not stage setup, or it is not studio filming. It is filming on location, it's discussions, it's workshops, and then of course shown to people, and people tend to identify much more strongly. And this is a very good medium, because most of our colleagues in within the worker movement are unable to read or write. So an audio media or a video media is a very, very good medium to exchange information and educate each other.
What does the future hold for the Pakistani workers? What's on their agenda, particularly at this difficult, painful period of time where the greater impoverishment of the population is as whole, and probably even more of a stranglehold now by a dictatorship over the country?
That's a very interesting question. We've had democratic governments, and we have been disappointed by them. We certainly have never supported military dictatorships, and the experience of previous military dictatorships have been very, very bad for us. And we have now a military dictator who seems to be, and we find ourselves in conflict with our own ideas, that we tend to kind of support him and justify him for the time being, because we were horrified by the fact if there somebody else at the moment, what terrible things would happen. But nevertheless, we are not saying that we are overlooking our intention to push for democracy and quick return to democracy in Pakistan. Having said that, the present government is actually facilitating workers' movement, and the reason for that is that there are a few forces in Pakistan. One of the forces is, of course, the religious fanatic forces, and there are forces which are elitist forces, and there are forces which are liberal progressive forces, and trade unions is one of the part of these liberal progressive forces. At the moment, the present government needs the support of these progressive forces, and there is a minister for labor who actually comes from an NGO sector, this non-governmental sector, and has experience in development in the rural areas. So he has been attending a lot of trade union functions now and making very, very good positive speeches. We have now possibilities of medical coverage for employees and so on and so forth. But the problem really is that there is no democracy within our trade unions, and that is an area of concern. And I think trade unions do not automatically strengthen themselves, or we cannot, by just adding numbers, they don't become strong. Trade unions, in my opinion, in our country, will become strong when each member of a trade union can identify with an agenda which leads to the improvement of quality of life, and can also show roadmaps that how it would happen. And then these people would have influence over the leadership, and the leadership can be changed or strengthened by the vote of these people. And I think putting democracy within trade union is going to lead us to a positive situation.
The way I'm interpreting your answer was that there's a certain amount of instability in Pakistan, and for the current time, the government is doing things to strengthen the trade union movement for that reason. Could you expand on that question of instability? And also, right now, as I understand it, there's only about 3-5% of the workers in Pakistan who are in trade unions. Are they making it easier to join trade unions?
First, instability, yes. The instability is because General Musharraf's decision to align itself with the United States, although supported by kind of majority, but there was an opposition to that also by the fanatic religious elements. And Musharraf had been saying that this is going to be a short war, there's not going to be any bombing during Ramadan, and the Northern Alliance would not enter Kabul. So whatever, for whatever reason, whatever happened, all these three things have been proven wrong, which makes his situation and position much more dicey. So that's the instability that is there. Although now when Taliban have been tremendously weakened, there seems to be less support for them in Pakistan also. And it is understood that this support was actually spearheaded by people who had come from Afghanistan and were refugees in Pakistan. But the economic situation, the social situation, the law and order situation, those situations are still something that the present government has to grapple with. There's a difficulty in that situation. Having said that, just now the economic situation is so bad that the government must go to trade unions and appease them, otherwise trade unions are going to come back at them very hard. So I think one of the reasons that this present government is kind of supportive of trade unions is because they know that there is a time bomb in this, and if they don't do anything, something terrible would happen. And that's probably one of the reasons why privatization of the many national institutions has been at least delayed, if not put into the cold storage.
Interestingly enough, the AFL-CIO here doesn't seem to have the same perspective, that if they don't appease, if they don't deal with the trade union movements, that we are a ticking time bomb and should strike out in support of the working class. But that not with...
Well, I wonder why not. I don't think we are a ticking time bomb.
Well, that's probably why, Ken Nash. Maqbool Babri, thank you. You are a labor videographer, you're a human rights activist, you're a sensitive and bright gentleman, and you are from Pakistan. We thank you very much for speaking with us on Building Bridges in Exile.
But one more thing. Let's give an email address to those that might want to get in contact with you, or perhaps even at some point see your work, be able to contact you.
Well, I'm in Pakistan, and my email is maxbabri@hotmail.com. So one more time, maxbabri@hotmail.com. So that was maxbabri@hotmail.com. I also wish to thank you and Mimi for this wonderful opportunity to talk to you.